16, 13, 14. Be watchful, stand firm in the faith, act like men, be strong. Let all that you do be done in love.
Amen. Father, we just want to thank you that we can come together today, that we can celebrate life and love. Father, we just want to thank you for being our God. We want to thank you for the moms that are here. And Father, all the moms that we have that are not here. We want to thank you, Lord, for the women that gave us birth. We also, Lord, want to thank you for the moms of our homes. Because, Father, we would be lost without them, the mothers of our children. We praise you and thank you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. If you're in second, wait a minute, fifth grade. Yeah, you're in second grade. If you're in fifth grade or below and would like to go to Children's Church, you may do so at this time with Troy and Melissa. Now, you might be thinking, Pastor, you've lost your mind because this is not a Mother's Day verse. However, it is a very important verse in my life, and I want to encourage you that I think it could be a very important verse in your life, whether you're a father or mother or anything in between. You can follow along in your bulletin insert. It has all the verses that I plan to use today. They're all written down there, and so you can kind of follow along in some sort of order. Today, as we look at this passage, this passage of Scripture, I've broken it down into five parts. Be watchful, stand firm in faith, act like men, be strong, let all that you do be done in love. So, number one, be watchful. As you read this passage, and I hope that you brought your Bibles, and I hope you opened your Bibles, and I hope that you're reading along. I use the English Standard Version, might be different from what you have, but most Bible versions are just fine. Different versions translate this portion differently, where mine says be watchful, others say watch, or be on guard, or be alert. Another says be vigilant. This is translated from a single Greek word. The whole thought, you know, be watchful, comes from one Greek word, Gregorio. Literally, it means stay awake, which is what Colleen and I did last night. Instead of going to bed, we were busy doing things, and I stayed up really late. 2 a.m. I don't know what was wrong. Figuratively, though, okay, literally it means stay awake. Figuratively, it means vigilant. And so oftentimes when you do something like stay awake till 2, then you're not very vigilant the next day because you're sleeping. But this is a call of Scripture to not only stay awake, but stay alert. This holds the notion of pay attention to what's going on. Mothers are the type of people, they have to pay attention. They have to be vigilant. They have to be alert in life. I ran across this next picture. And I don't know if you can see it from the back, but I mean, this is the little woman that's on the bathroom. And next to it is her painting. And the cape in the background and the little outfit clearly shows she's Wonder Woman. And the caption says it all. It never was a dress. And I think that as a mom, I think moms, a lot of them, are just simply Wonder Women. I know that when our children were born, I was amazed at how Colleen would wake up when the baby cried. Me, I'm just laying there sleeping. I'm thinking our baby's sleeping through the night when she's a week old. But it's only me that's sleeping through the night. Colleen gets up repeatedly. She gets up, she nurses, she changed, she wiped, she patted, she rubbed, she sang, she rocked. Well, I guess she did all those things. I was asleep. But she was on watch. She was vigilant. That's what moms do. This reminds me of a Bible verse that should hang in every nursery all around the world. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We will not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. And if you don't recognize her, that's Baby Noel.
Oh.
Sad, isn't she? As watchful as mothers are in the Bible, as watchful as mothers are, the Bible gives its instructions to us all. Watch. As followers of the living God, we are not followers of man. We are followers of God. Put this into a visual picture. God is leading the way. The believers are following him, and the non-believers are wandering around in some sort of spiritual fog, looking for someone to follow or following someone that is not God. And meanwhile, there goes God and those that believe following him. Now, all too often, believers get distracted. As believers, we can get distracted from following God, and we begin to follow all kinds of people that are rambling around in all kinds of different spiritual directions. We like to think, that's other people, but the reality is it happens to us. Mothers get in a spiritual fog when they ignore their children. And parents get in a spiritual fog when they put it off for the school to raise their children, or to the church to teach them about God. Parents are supposed to be engaged in these things. Mothers get away and they get lost in that spiritual fog when they move away from parenting techniques that have not been time-tested and are not biblical. They start following all these latest movements. Fathers fail when they decide that their child needs to be their pal rather than making themselves a role model that the child can look up to. Every one of us can lose our way, but every one of us can refine our way if we will just simply choose to stay the course. Be watchful and follow God. We must be vigilant. That means be reliable. Be predictable. It means protect your family. Provide for them. It means take care of your community. Protect it from evil. To be watchful means to pay attention and to take action and to care for those that we're supposed to care for. Just be watchful. There's so much in that one word, watch. Number two, stand firm in the faith. Whether we know it or not, the vast majority of us are standing firm. The question really is, what are we standing firm in? I keep forgetting who's up here. What a wonderful bunch of ladies. If I ask you, what do you stand for? You would say, I stand for right, I stand for God, I stand for, this, I stand for that. But do you really? If I just followed you around and watched you, or if someone followed you around, not like I'm a stalker, but if someone followed you around and took notes, would they be able to figure out, based on what you do, would they be able to figure out who you are? Who you really are. Would they find somebody who's just an agreeable, happy sort of person who is like a chameleon that changes for every group that you're in just so that you don't make waves? Or do they find somebody who is steadfast and who is tough and who can move through and survive, and someone who's confident enough in themselves and confident enough in their faith, confident enough in their Lord to be the same person everywhere they go? It's a tough deal. It's hard to do. In 1979, Bob Dylan wrote a song. I'm going to read some of the lyrics to you. I think it kind of sums up this thought about standing firm and whether you're standing firm in your faith. The title of the song is "God Serves Somebody." It goes like this. You may be an ambassador to England or France. You may like to gamble. You may like to dance. You may be the heavyweight champion of the world. You may be a socialite with a long string of pearls, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. It may be the devil, it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Might be a rock and roll addict prancing on stage. Might have money and drugs at your command, women in a cage. You may be a businessman or some high degree thief. They may call you doctor. They may call you chief, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a construction worker working on a home. You may be living in a mansion, or you might live in a dome. You might own guns, and you might even own a tank. You might be somebody's landlord. You might even own banks. But you're going to have to serve somebody, yes? You're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. You may be a preacher with your spiritual pride. You may be a city councilman taking bribes on the side. You may be working in a barber shop. You may know how to cut hair. You may be somebody's mistress. Maybe somebody's heir, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Might like to wear cotton, might like to wear silk, might like to drink whiskey, might like to drink milk, might like to eat caviar, might like to eat bread. You may be sleeping on the floor or a king-size bed, but you're going to have to serve somebody. Now my favorite one. You may call me Terry, you may call me Jimmy, you may call me Bobby, you may call me Zimmy, you may call me RJ, you may call me Ray, you may call me anything, but no matter what you say, you're going to have to serve somebody. Yes, indeed, you're going to have to serve somebody. Well, it may be the devil, or it may be the Lord, but you're going to have to serve somebody. The Bible challenges us to clarify this in our lives and to stand firm in the faith. Be watchful, pray, pay attention, and make sure we are serving God and God alone. There's a lot of things in this world pulling us in a lot of directions. That's why we have to stand firm. So we will stick in the faith. Are you stuck in your faith? Or are there things that pull you and draw you? Number three, act like men. Okay, for Mother's Day, this is kind of weird. But It's an important part, okay? Somehow this verse reminds me, this portion of this verse, reminds me of a verse that we had to memorize when I was in Bible college, and it bothered me at the time. The verse is Numbers 23:19. I didn't make an overhead for it. Sorry about that. Just an oversight. But it says, Numbers 23:19, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should change his mind. Has he said, and will he not do, or has he spoken, and will he not fulfill it? Now this verse always kind of bothered me, because it says, God is not a man, I'm good with that, God's not a man, that he should lie, or the son of man, that he should change his mind. But it's like, wait a minute, what about the women? I thought the women were the ones that were always supposed to be changing their minds. Why doesn't God compare himself to a woman there? I would like that better. That would make me feel more comfortable. Kind of implies that men are bound to falsehoods, and that leaves women completely off the hook. God is not a man that he should lie. Well, I think we men need to pay attention to that. This term, though, act like men, is translated in various ways in the scripture. It's translated in different versions of the Bible. Like, be courageous, be brave, be men. In the Greek, it is actually just one word, and I'm not even going to try to pronounce it. It's just way too many consonants. And it literally means quit like a man. So if you have the King James Version of the Bible, it actually says that. Quit ye like men. So that's a more literal translation. But you know figuratively what it means? When it says act like men, you want to know what it means? It means man up. It means get it together. It means step up. It means stiff upper lip. It means don't be a sissy. It means pull up your socks. It means do the right thing. Never say die. Don't be a baby. It means cowboy up or cowgirl up, depending on the case. It means open up a can of man. It means face up, be real, step up, grow up, means fuck up, buttercup. That's what it means. Act like men. It means stop whining and stop complaining and deal with your problems. Do something about it. That's what the Bible is challenging us to do in this verse. Quit like men. How is it that men quit? Well, men don't quit. They meet life head on. In Genesis chapter 32, Jacob goes off to spend a little time with the Lord before he goes to meet his brother. And an angel shows up. And Jacob and the angel somehow get in this wrestling match. And at one point in their fight, that angel hits Jacob so hard. And you got to love how some things are written in the Bible. The Bible says that the man, that's the angel, touched Jacob's hip socket and he became crippled. Yeah, I've been touched like that. It's not your touch. So the angel touched Jacob in his hip socket to such a degree that Jacob became crippled for the rest of his life. Does that stop Jacob? No. Did that even stop Jacob that night? No. You know what happened? Genesis 32:26 says what happened. It says, then he said, let me go, for the day has broken. But Jacob said, I will not let you go unless you bless me. When is the last time you caught a hold of God and held on to him that tight and that hard, where you were willing to be crippled for the rest of your life? Jacob's out there fighting with one leg dislocated, and he's got a hold of this angel that could probably just go and kill him. And they are fighting all night, and when morning is breaking and Jacob could let him go and just get on with the day, Jacob's like, no, no, this is not how it's going to end. You're going to bless me before you go. When's the last time you grabbed onto God with that measure of fervency? Quit like men. Don't quit. Won't quit. In the Job chapter 13 and verse 15, Job says this about God: though he slay me, I will hope in him. Yet I will argue my ways to his face. Wow. When's the last time you went to God in prayer and argued with him? You say, well, you're not supposed to do that, Pastor. When you go to God, you're just supposed to say, my will, not, or your will, not mine, be done. No, probably. But I'm going to tell you something. I have dumped my desk in prayer. I have thrown rocks and other things. I have screamed and yelled until my voice was so sore I couldn't talk anymore. You might as well get on the outside what you're feeling on the inside. God already knows that. And when you can get all honest with him on every level, and when you are absolutely, positively persuaded that he knows exactly how you feel, that's when suddenly you feel like this world cannot beat you up anymore. When is the last time you went to God with that type of fervency and told him, this isn't fair, I don't like how it's happening? I got to tell you, just recently there was somebody that came into the church. They came in, it was the middle of the week, they came in, they sat down, they're sitting here and they were praying. I'll talk about them a little bit, but not here this morning. And I want to tell you, they were not happy about how things were going. And I was in my office, and I was listening to them yelling and screaming in here, and it's like, I'm sick of this! Yeah. I don't think they need counsel. I think I'll stay in my office. I could hear, when I heard them start kicking things, I decided maybe I should come out and talk. A bad day. Tough situation. Something that could not be changed. When's the last time you went to God in that kind of prayer? You said, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me. I'm going to argue my ways to your face. Well, you know, you're supposed to be afraid of God. Yes. There's a time and place where you're supposed to be afraid of God. But I'm going to tell you, when life's crumbling all around, God is a father that you can step up in front of and tell him exactly how you feel. You know what he's going to do? He's going to pour his love out on your heart. He's going to touch you. He's going to change you. He's either going to change the situation. He's going to change your attitude. He's going to change somebody else. We don't know what he's going to do, but we do know that he works on this. And we know when he makes these changes are permanent and these changes are good. You cannot finish. Excuse me. You cannot quit. We cannot quit and finish. You cannot have it both ways. So make a choice now. What kind of believer are you going to be? One who believes or one who sort of believes? Don't take the easy way. Choose and take the right way. There's most often there's a difference. Someone might say, well, what if I don't know what's the right way? Well, read your Bible, study your Bible, hang out with people that read and study their Bibles, be prayed up, and do your best. And when things don't work out, go before God and tell him how you feel. Now, I talked to you and told you there have been times when I've turned over my desk and times that I've screamed through things and in prayer. And you think, well, that's crazy. But I got to tell you, the vast majority of my prayers are times when I just sit and I just say, God, I'm so sad. God, I'm so lonely. God, I just need your touch. I just need to know you're here. I just need to know, Lord, that when my wife's in the ER with blood pressure of 210 over 110 and her heart's beating 130 times a minute, I just need to know that she's going to be okay. And you get that sense, you know, that Not the sense that she's going to be okay, but you got to get that sense that it's going to be okay, whatever it is, that it's going to be okay. And if it's okay, then I'm going to be okay. And that brings us to number four, where it says, be strong. Now, you know, last week I mentioned from a passage that we looked at from 1 Kings where it was the gentle, God showed up in the gentle whisper, how it was translated in all these different ways. And I mentioned earlier today about how it was translated in multiple ways. And the problem with that is a lot of times you're taking something from one language, and in this case, Greek. You're taking it from Greek and you're trying to put it into English. And you're not only just translating the words, but you're trying to translate the concept. And some of the concept and words don't really work that well, so it becomes difficult to translate. And so you can usually find that out by looking at different translations and reading through them. And as you read through them, and you begin to see, well, that one's a little different, that one's a little different, that one's a little different, that one's a little different. But you know, when I got to this word, be strong, then I looked at it in 20 different Bible versions. 20. I counted them up. 20 different Bible translations. You know what they all said? What did they all say? Be strong. Every one of them. So what do you think it means in Greek? Not much of a mystery there, is it? Be strong. You can't be milquetoast and survive this life. It is tough. Life is hard. We have to be strong. I found some quotes that I wanted to share with you today. They're just random quotes. I don't really even know who three of these people are, but I like their quotes, so here you go. And then I say I don't know their names, and then I'm going to say their names, and you're all going to be like, well, I know who that is. Pastor, you're an idiot. You should read more. But this guy's name is Aidan Quinn, or maybe it's Gal. But this person's name is Aidan Quinn. And they said, life is hard for everyone. That's why there's such a nice reward at the end of it. I like that thought. And Katharine Hepburn, she's an actress, and if you're my age or older, you know who she is. And she said, life is hard. After all, it kills you. Well, that's pretty hard. Belier, she says, my philosophy is life is hard, but God is good. Try not to confuse the two. And then there's David Giroux, and he said, life is hard, then you die. Then they throw dirt in your face. Then the worms eat you. Be grateful it happens in that order. Be strong. Be strong. Number five is verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. You know, after challenging us to be watchful, to stand firm in the faith, to act like men, and to be strong, God's word tells us to let all that we do be done in love. That's huge, isn't it? You know what? A bully can be watchful. A bully can stand firm. A bully can be stubborn. And a bully can be strong. But we're called to love. And that's what sets us apart. How important is it for the believer to understand and apply love in their lives and relationships? I jotted down a few scriptures for you in the bottom of the insert. And I usually don't do this, but today I'm just going to read them all. Leviticus 19:18. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Matthew chapter 5, verse 44. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray pray for those who persecute you. John 13, 34, a new command I give to you, love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. John 15, 12, my command is this, love each other as I have loved you. John 15, 17, this is my command, love each other. Romans 12, 10, be devoted to the one, be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Romans 13, 8. Let no debt remain outstanding, except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. Romans 13, 10. Love does no harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. Galatians 5, 14. For the entire law is fulfilled in keeping this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Ephesians 5, 2. And walk in the way of love, just as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us as a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God. 1 Thessalonians 4, 9. Now about your love for one another, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Hebrews 13, 1. Keep on loving one another. Sorry, Tyrus. I just thought it was good for Mother's Day. How many moms have had their sons photoshopped shaking hands with the president? Hebrews 13:1. Keep on loving one another as brothers and sisters. 1 Peter 1:22. Now that you have purified yourselves by obeying the truth, so that you have sincere love for each other, love one another deeply from the heart. 1 John chapter 3, verse 11. For this is the message you heard from the beginning. We should love one another. 1 John 3, 23. And this is his command, to believe in the name of his Son, Jesus, and to love one another as he commands us. 1 John 4, 7. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows it. 1 John 4, 10. This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. In 1 John 4, 21, and he has given us this command, anyone who loves God must also love their brother and sister. In 2 John 1, 5, and now, dear lady, I am not writing you a new command, but one we have had from the beginning, and I ask that we love one another. I took the time to read all those, to show all those, just so you could see for yourself firsthand that loving one another, caring about one another, being engaged in one another's lives is not a suggestion in the scripture. It's not a, well, maybe you should, or maybe we ought to, or maybe there's a Bible verse that says, love one another. No. It is a main theme in the New Testament. You cannot call God your God and say you're following and believing in Him if you're not loving one another. This is, some people are so hard to love. It's like mosquitoes, you know? It's like, I don't love mosquitoes. I just, why did God make them? I don't know. To give people malaria. I don't know. I don't know why God made some people. Teach us tolerance, I guess. I don't know why a good person gets sick and a bad person stays healthy. I don't know why, you know, a marriage will happen and one of those two people will be a saint and the other one will be a jerk. And the two of them will go on for years and years, a miracle and a testament to all of us that their that marriage can survive the incredible storms of life, and then the good one dies, and the bad one lives on. I don't understand that. It makes no sense to me. If I was God, I could whip this place into shape. But then again, it seems to me that He has promised that there is a day coming when He will put this place into shape. When the page will turn and all things will change forever. And mankind will be judged. And all things will be laid bare and all things will then make sense. But until that time, we're just supposed to love them. Not because of who they are, but because of who He is in us. Are we believers or are we not? Yesterday, Dave Eddy opened the Mother's Day breakfast time, and he made reference to a passage of Scripture, 1 John 4:19. It says, "We love because He first loved us." And then he spoke about how a mother loves even while the child is not really even known to her. While that child is still in the womb, the mother begins to love. Sometimes even before that child is conceived, a mother will make a determination, if I have a child, this is how I will love them. This is. And you know, that mom makes that determination before she ever finds out whether that kid is going to be a rat or an angel. I am a big opponent of abortion. I think that every child that's born should have an opportunity to live till he's about 18. And then you can make a decision which way they go. But that's not how a mother loves. A mother loves that child. A child can be the biggest pain in the rear. And you can look at that child one day and you can even say, you know what, the best way for me to love you is to tell you to get out of here. The best way for me to love you is to tell you to go away and make a life for yourself. But you don't do that because, the mother doesn't do that because she's filled with hate. She might be frustrated, but she doesn't. Because that's the best way sometimes for some people to just finally grow up. And those are hard calls. And love is deep when those calls are made. God's love for us is like that. Romans chapter 5, verses 6 through 8 tell us about God's love. It says there, "For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person, one will dare to even die. But God shows His love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Before we got anything right, Christ died for us. That is amazing. God loves us love of the best loving parent. He loves us not because of who we are, not because of what we've done. He loves us simply because He's loving. Being a mother, it may well be the toughest job on earth. I would be one. But you have an incredible role model in God. There's way more times I've looked at God and thought of that He had more attributes of a mother than a father. The way that He loves us. I want to challenge you today. You know what? If you had a crummy mom, and some moms are, I want to challenge you to just man up. I want to challenge you to do what's right. I want to challenge you to begin to make changes in your life and your generations to follow. If you're alive and you're hearing this today, the responsibility is on you. Make the changes. Do the things you need to do. Get the help you need to have. Make it happen. And you know what? If you're the one that has been that crummy mom, I want to challenge you to man up. Don't be a quitter. From this day forward, you can get it right. If you've gotten every day before this one wrong, which is possible, if you've gotten every day wrong, you can start this day getting it right going forward. You ready to do that? You just simply have to become a believer. A believer in the power of God. A true believer. Not a sort of believer, but a true believer. To have a belief that in His hands, every single thing is going to work out okay. You say, yeah, well, I prayed that for my marriage, and my marriage went. Yeah. Marriage wasn't okay. But it, whatever it is, will be okay. Going forward, it will be okay. You say, my loved one, I prayed for them that they would get well and they die. They won't be mad. But it can be okay. Going forward, it can work out. Whatever it is, our life, our relationship with God, life in general, and ultimately heaven, it works out. From the bottom of my heart, if there is an example on earth of a human being that believes it will work out, it has been the mothers that I have known in my life. My mom, my wife, my daughters who are now mothers. I've watched them. I've watched many of you. It will be okay. A band-aid, a boo-boo, a kiss, a cup of Kool-Aid, it'll be fine. Let's stand together. Be part of the example that they are of love. Father, give us all the patience and the kindness and the love that we need to raise our kids and to raise this community. Help us, Lord, to not be wishy-washy and to fall in and out of who we believe in, but help us, Lord, just to get sold out on the truths of Scripture. And Father, before we become moderates, help us to dig into Your Word deep and dig into the relationship with You deep so that we can find out why all these people who are firm believers are firm believers. Help us, Father, begin to see that the answers to the problems lie in You. All of them. In Jesus' name, we pray for strength. We pray for hope. We pray for love. Amen. Father, especially today, I want to ask Your blessings on the moms. Lord, some of them don't have a whole lot to celebrate today. Father, they know You. and that's enough. I pray, Father, that where they feel lacking, you fill the void. And Father, for those who just have this great and wonderful love relationship, Father, just let their banner fly high. Because, Father, we look to them as an example for the rest of us. So, Father, I pray that every mom today would just enjoy her day and that she would know how much the rest of us appreciate her and how lost we would be without this person, mother, that you put in our lives, that you've created, and you have given us hope and peace through our moms and through Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless you guys. Give you a great week. And happy Mother's Day, moms.